Okay, good afternoon. So today we're going to talk about God's presence in busyness, and the scripture is in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. I'll read it for you. So as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we get together to listen to your word. We thank you because of your precious teaching. We thank you because you love us. You know us, and we are your wonderful and fearfully made. You know what we need. Lord, prepare us to listen to you and open our heart to you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, when I read the passage, I came up with a man. This man, his name is Zhuge Liang. Anybody heard him before? He was born in 200 years before Jesus in China. He was an extraordinary statesman. He became a chancellor when he was only 30 years old. And he was also an engineer like me, but much better. He invented the automatic vehicle to carry goods in the war. The shape is like a cow. And he created repeating crossbow, which was a very powerful weapon by the time. And he invented the hot air balloon for the military signaling. He was also a military strategist. So he constructed the stone sentinel maze. I couldn't find the picture, so I just show you that the maze is like that. The maze. It's the purpose of that maze is that it's formed by an array of stone piles to trap the enemy's army. So this man, his reputation was amazing. He only lost one battle in his life. He is an absolutely legend in Chinese history. Zhuge Liang, his lifetime ambition was to help his emperor to annex other kingdoms. So to other kingdoms, he was a totally nightmare. He spent almost 25 years in the war before destroying all the enemies. He didn't stop. So he was still conquering when he was 50 years old. The emperor has passed away. And he was looking after the new emperor. So he had more responsibilities, and the time was quite urgent for him. So every day he slept only 4 hours. He ate 1 to 2 meals, and he worked from dawn to midnight. He knew every detail of the army. He was really, really busy. When he was about to defeat his biggest enemy, he felt sick. So after 1 year, he passed away in his last battle. And finally, his kingdom lost. So Zhuge Liang has been praised by his persistence and his loyalty, but he didn't make it. We really feel sorry for him. However, he didn't fail because he was unlucky. He was so capable as a military leader that he could not fully trust anybody else. His responsibility was huge, but he never shared it. His perfectionism forced him to be a workaholic. And in the end, his true enemy was not a kingdom anymore. In the end, his true enemy is himself. He killed himself through the stress of his own business. Does this sound familiar? Is business a problem in my life and in your life? Next slide, please. Let's look at the passage. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So Jesus goes to a village where Martha and Mary lived in. Martha opens her home to Jesus. So we can see Martha is quite active. She welcomes Jesus first into her house and treats him. As a guest, I guess we all love Martha, right? She's wonderful. If Martha is there, we will have big biscuits, chocolates, fish and chips, roasts, desserts. And Martha makes us all feel we are so important. We're so loved. So in my house, if my friends come to my place, my wife Millie, he's the one who tells me what should I prepare, and I need to buy something and tidy the room and to make sure we have something to entertain the kids. So I'm not good at this at all. So when Millie asked me to stop talking, turn off the TV to help her, I will do it, definitely. So when we look at the second part, we're a bit confused here because Martha's sister Mary makes a different choice when she meets Jesus. When Martha is busy, Mary chooses not to help, maybe. She sits before Jesus. This is a quite different attitude. Why Mary does this? If we think about Jesus himself, Jesus is a rabbi. His teaching is powerful and amazing. Every word he said has come true. So he has healed all the sicknesses. He even raised Lazarus from death to life. Lazarus is the brother of Martha and Mary. So Jesus has been invited to many, many places because of his reputation. If we invited Jesus to our home, then what Jesus tells us should be very important, and we should listen to him very carefully. However, compared with Mary, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. When you are praying, when you are reading Bible, or when you are worshiping, have you ever been distracted before? Have you been distracted by kids, by the things in your mind, by your job, by your mobile phone? Well, I have all the time. So every night before my kids sleep, I pray with them. That's like our family tradition. So most of the time they are pretty quiet. But sometimes my head just filled with a lot of noise and disturbance. This usually happens when I want to concentrate on spending time with Jesus, or I want to do something very important. Ironically, I don't get distracted when I watch movies or play video games. So I can feel Martha. When Martha thinks about there are so many works, so many preparations she has to do, she can't focus on Jesus anymore. So even Jesus is sitting before her, still, she's distracted, just like me. She feels nervous. Her anxiety rises. So she can't stand this. She starts to say something to Jesus. Next slide. She came to him, who's Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So, what's Martha's response? How does she start this conversation? She complains. She complains about Jesus and Mary. So, there are two parts. The first, Martha thinks the Lord doesn't care. So Martha thinks that these preparations are so important that the Lord should agree with her. This is not the best time to just sit over there and talk. We should get the feast ready first. But Jesus seems don't care about this. He seems to let Martha worry and work alone. The second part, she thinks, Mary doesn't care. So Martha starts to be angry with Mary and even the people around her. She couldn't stand that they have no idea about how important these job is and how busy Martha is, how worried she is. To Martha, if Mary doesn't help, that means she doesn't care. Or to us, if you don't help me, that means you don't care about me. So at this moment, Martha's emotion blows up. So she starts to blame on Jesus. She says, "Tell Mary to help me." Is this a request or a command? This is more like a command, right? So when we lose patience, when we feel we are ignored by the Lord Jesus, we're ignored by the people around us, we might be as Martha. We might be angry with anybody. So the consequence of this feeling is bitterness. So when bitterness turns out in our heart, it destroys our relationship first. And we will be occupied by the bitterness. So we will not be able to enjoy our life anymore. So the feast actually should be very happy. When we treat Jesus, we should be very happy. But we are not happy anymore. We feel angry. We are surrounded by people, but we feel lonely. And we start to be hopeless. Next slide. What's Jesus' response? "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." First, Jesus doesn't say the preparation is not necessary. He doesn't tell Martha, "stop working, sit right here." He doesn't tell Martha not to serve the people who she cares. if you are busy to look after your family, to do your job, to finish your thesis, to write a new book, if you know these things are what God calls you to do, you should be diligent. You should work hard. The Lord is looking for faithful servants. Jesus never says business is wrong. In the opposite, business in our life actually is inevitable. Sometimes it's essential. The second thing we need to know is Jesus cares about us. He doesn't rebuke Martha's emotion. Instead, he calls Martha with gentleness. Martha, Martha, listen to me. He knows what we need. He cares what we think. So Martha thinks she has to do her best to prepare everything for her Lord. That's really good. Jesus never rebuked that. But that shouldn't be her first priority. Jesus is helping Martha to discover that her priority goes wrong in her business. This is not comfortable when we realize that our first priority might not be the same with Lord's priority, especially when we are diligently serving our family, serving our church, doing our jobs, looking after our kids. But unfortunately, incorrect priorities causes problems, causes worries in our life. When we are worried, when we are upset about many, many things, then we are too busy. So when we are too busy, we turn to serve busyness, not the Lord. Next slide, please. Then Jesus said, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So, when we look at Mary, she's sitting there, sitting before the Lord, listening carefully to Jesus. Jesus says, this is the only thing Martha needs, Mary needs, everybody needs. Again, Jesus is not overlooking the preparations. He's not saying that. He's telling Martha, there is one thing which is much more important in your life. What is that thing? Jesus himself. So Jesus knows we need to rest in first, rest in him first, to share his love and his grace first. We need to realize this is God's presence. So Jesus always comes first in our life. When we put Jesus in the right place, the first place, then everything in our life goes right. So, in other words, we put the Lord Jesus in our business first. Correct priority actually matters first. It matters the most, as the example of Zhuge Liang. He was multitasking, so business actually is inevitable in his life. But what was his first priority? He must be alive to lead his country, to lead his army. So no matter how busy he had to be, his health actually was his first priority. When he lost his health, then his ambition, his passion, his everything was gone. Thank you. So this is kind of my life. My life actually can be divided into three major parts: the job part, the family part, and church life parts. Of course, you can extend this. We can have a lot of things in our life, but my life is more like that. So my duty is to make sure that every part every part in this graph is balanced. So sometimes my job circle might get bigger. Okay? I need to work for a longer time, and the other parts will be squeezed a little bit by my job circle. So if this is only temporary, then everything will be going back to normal again. Then I will be fine. But if my job circle gets bigger for several years, I always come home late and always work on weekend, then I can't go to church every week. I can't see my kids before they go to bed. What's going to happen? This job circle will be too big, and then it will be harmful to all the other circles. So my wife won't be happy, my kids won't be happy, and I won't be happy because I lose my balance. So even just in my family circle, there are three kids there, okay? There is an important balance in that circle. When I'm too busy with my children, then my family circle is filled with kids. So there's no room for me and my wife. Then I don't have time to look after our relationship. So in this family circle, still the balance can be broken. Now, even I have the perfect balance in all the circles, but I'm too busy to keep the balance. I become a Superman, try to look after every detail, try to make everybody happy. Then the overlapped area of these three circles, there's a heart there. That's me. That represents my mental health, my physical health, and then my spiritual status. What about that part? If I'm too busy, then that part will collapse. When that part collapses, what's going to happen on the other part? So back to today's passage, I think busyness is not evil, is not a bad thing. However, we can't lose the priority in our business. Losing the priority in business is unhealthy. It's dangerous. So we can ask ourselves, if we don't feel well, if now I'm so worried and upset about many, many, many things. I feel worried all the time. I feel tired all the time. I'm afraid you are too busy. You're too busy, and you need to check your priority again. Next slide, please. Jesus says the thing Mary has chosen won't be taken away from her. This implies something in our life might be taken away, right? So we might play a part in our company, in parenting, in family, in preaching, or in any other area, but we all know most of these things are not permanent. Things change. People change. If we only live for the success on all this, how could we deal with accidents? How could we deal any failure in our life? Jesus has said, our life will have challenges and accidents. He brings us entering into new stages. That's for everybody. Entering into promised lands. So surely, in promised lands, in new stages, there are a lot of blessings and abundance. But also, there are challenges. There are tests. And there are more responsibilities. So these all make us busier and make our life more stressful. So sometimes we make it, but sometimes we don't. Whatever we survive or we thrive, we're still God's people. We're still His sons and His daughters. What is the better thing won't be taken? That's the fellowship with the Lord, His glorious presence, our relationship, our personal relationship with Him will not be taken. That's what Mary has chosen. So, where is God's presence? Next slide, please. God's presence is in your job circle, in your family circle, in your church circle, and in your most, at the innermost part. It's in everywhere if you are seeking Him. So I want to share with you a beautiful psalm which is written by David. David is a king ruling Israel. He should be busy enough. He wrote this psalm. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. A king like David could seek more power, more fortune, or the big name in history. But what does David seek? He seeks the Lord's presence. He deeply knows how great is the presence of the Lord. He wants to stay in the Lord's dwelling place. He wants to stay in the holy temple, not His palace or His throne. Of course, we know David is not a perfect man. He's not a perfect king. He makes a lot of mistakes. He sins. He has serious family issues. But his ultimate target is not about himself. It's not about his success or his failure. It's about the Lord. When I think of my life, yes, I'm busy. I have 3 kids, you know. But do I like be busy? No. I don't like business. And from time to time, I want to get away from my duty. And compared with David, I'm not keen on seeing God that much. If I seek God eagerly, I must have some big troubles. I think my biggest problem is not busyness, but laziness. I often use busyness as the disguise to cover my laziness. So I would say, Lord, I know I should pray more, but I'm really tired, so I need to relax. Can I have a drink, please? I should serve the church more, but you know, this is weekend. Can I have a break, please? To make this clear, this is only my case. This is my case. But I want to share with you, we all need balance. We need a balance between the busyness and resting. We need a balance between work and family and church. We need a balance between the Lord Jesus and us. Where can we get this balance? In the Lord's presence. the Lord's presence gives us a perfect balance. Next slide, please. Finally, I want to read this passage. Okay. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of a pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This is in John chapter 12. This is actually the same scenario, but the book of John records different things. It doesn't record the conversation between Jesus and Martha, but Mary's offering. We don't know what Jesus taught with them. The Bible doesn't tell us. But this remarkable thing happens before the crucifixion. Mary anoints Jesus' feet. If you remember, all the disciples and the people who follow Jesus, actually they don't really understand the plan of his death and the resurrection by the time. But Mary seems to comprehend this. She knows Jesus is about to die, and she takes the actions. Why only Mary takes the actions? We don't know. But we can guess. When Mary sits before Jesus, she listens to the Lord very carefully. The Lord might tell her about his plan. Maybe Mary doesn't know why Jesus needs to sacrifice himself on the cross, why he has to die like a criminal. But Mary trusts her Lord. She offers her best to the Lord by her faith. Sitting before God is not passive only. It's helping us to understand the Lord's will and do it actively. It's a preparation, preparing us to be ready to serve, to deal with our busyness. Without recognizing the Lord's heart, Mary might not be able to offer that costly perfume. Without recognizing the Lord's heart, Abraham might not be able to offer his only son Isaac, and Jacob might not be able to bow down to his brother Esau. And we might not be able to offer ourselves to the Lord. So when we sit in the presence of God and know his desire for us, we will be ready and we will be able, we will be fine in the busyness. Let's pray. Father, you know our business, and you know what we are worried and upset. You not only know it, but you do care about us. You don't just leave us in the busyness. You help us to overcome it. Lord, we humble ourselves. We want to see you face to face. We want to dwell in your presence to see your glory and holiness. Please help us to adjust our priorities, to put you in the first place, not our business. When we are depressed, we know you are our strength, you are our hope, you are our comforter. We will go before you and listen to you. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.